try to muddle through this. You're going to have to help me with this part of it because you know the people. I don't know them. Okay, so I don't know a lot of the updates or things like that. So I know that Judy did come home today. So I saw that. She did. So. And we see that Frank's on there. Frank's having some sinus surgery next week. I want to remember that. What else do you all know or do you have that you could share with everyone about any updates? They shared some in staff meeting, but no one's here from staff today but me, and I don't know who they were. Kay has got a family function tonight, and Mickey's upstairs with the kids. So.
Virginia Watson, she's in Barbara Heights. She and her husband, Bo, and she is coming home tomorrow.
Okay.
She had a horrible UTI, so they kept her in the hospital for a couple of days.
And who's that?
Virgiline Worthington. I'm sorry, Virginia Watson.
Virginia Watson.
I was going to say, where are you going with that? That's why I'm a sister. Keep it straight. Yeah, Virginia Watson.
Anybody on here that you know of about updates? Or, like I said, I don't know who's who. And you do. Yes, ma'am.
I got three.
Okay.
Well, Mabel's home, Mabel's home, and Becky's home, and my aunt just called me tonight. I called her. She's got new, she's got bronchitis now.
Was Mabel in the hospital or
something? No, she's home now. She's home. She's a nurse. She's a nurse.
Or she's not out here, is she?
No.
What's wrong with her?
Her heart is out of rhythm. Both of them had her heart out of rhythm.
I think she was at church Sunday morning.
Hurts. Her heart is out of rhythm.
George, yes, ma'am.
As wonderful as it is to pray for these people, I think it would help if we could take so many names and call them and tell them that we have been praying for them. I mean, our prayers are going up, but if you're going to pray for me, let me know about it.
That's a super idea. And somebody, that would be somebody to take that on to distribute those out and say who they would take, how many they would take.
Can I say this? What First, now I'm not trying to say First Baptist is better, but what First Baptist did on Wednesday night on a prayer meeting, they had a letter that if you want to sign, you sign it, and they sent it to the people. Please use it.
So First Baptist stole it from here first.
First Baptist always said they was first anyway. Come alongside.
Yeah, that's something I was thinking about is that, or as you mentioned that, is to have a stack of cards sitting over here on the side, and just as you come in, pick up a card from them, write a card or two to somebody, and then we can mail them out the same way. So.
Now, Spirit Mill used to do that. They used to send it to the people.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's something that, something we need to look into, and maybe start doing more of. Anybody wants to take any of these and share them and call them, that's great. Please go ahead and do that, and we'll try to get somebody. If somebody wants to volunteer to organize that, whether it's just get some cards and have cards sitting here that we can write, send out, or whatever, then please let us know. Let Kay know at the office, or let me know tonight, and we'll do that. And I say that because you're going to find out that I'm not one to keep putting more stuff on the staff at any church. And so I think that's a great ministry, and it would be a great opportunity for us in here. But it's something that somebody should take on from the group that's willing to do that and send those out.
Also, Pastor Yates, if I may, several people have asked, but a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I went to visit Barb Vandenberg in Bourbon Heights. She didn't know me, and it broke my heart.
Sad reality.
Well, I had said, you know, Barb, you remember you were my Sunday school teacher for years and years, and she said, well, wasn't she nice? And just...
That'll shake you. I understand that. That will. I did talk to Curtis this afternoon. He was planning on being here tonight. They're leaving for vacation tomorrow. But he had a sore throat, so he thought he'd better go get it checked out just in case. And he's got strep throat. So.
Oh, no.
So they're still planning on going, but he said, I don't feel bad, so I feel okay. And I'm sure they gave him something for it, so a CPAP or something. So, but we do want to remember him since he does have strep. And anybody else? That's the one that I remember that I had today. Sorry, yeah, they're in the back. Should have bought some of them up here too. I didn't think they did some.
Georgia.
Yes.
My cousin, she lives in Tampa, Florida, and her sister called and told me this afternoon she's in the hospital right now for mental tests that they have. She has liver cancer. She has a bile duct. The tumor is right in that area. And she still has her gallbladder.
Okay. What's her name?
Maddie Lamb. L-A-M-B.
Maddie Lamb? Tony, would you mind voicing prayer for some of these, and
yes.
then Frank, if you would, pray for some of these as well. Let's go to whatever you feel led to as you read down the sheet.
Let's pray. First, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you gave us to come here to praise you, to worship you, and to lift up our petitions to you. We just ask that you continue to be with our Pastor George and continue to give him comfort, give him healing, we know he would like to be well yesterday, and we know that time period is on your schedule,
yes.
And that might be 2 months, 3 months, maybe 6 months from now, but we know that he knows that. We ask that you be with his wife as she continues to worry about him, cares for him as when he is at home. We just ask that he continue to take care of himself. We also ask that you be with our sister, Judy Jones. What a saint she's been here in our church and what all she does. We just ask that you continue to be with her and Terry and the new changes in life that they will have because of her health. And we know that at some point she will get back to hopefully 100% health, but if not, that her love for you will continue and that you will continue to be with that family as well. And we just ask that you, I was not here to hear, but if Frank, that he, I understand he's having some surgery, just be with him, be with Sharon as he goes through this procedure, be with the doctors also, that they have a healing, caring hand on him as he goes through this procedure. There are many others on this one side of this page that you know their needs. We ask that you shine your light upon their caretakers, the doctors, their family members, as we all worry about family when they get sick. We ask that you just give all of us that peace that comes knowing that you are part of the healing power that is out there. We just ask these things in your name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather tonight to bring you our prayer requests. We know you'll hear our prayers and you'll answer them in your time and in your way. At this time, I'd like to ask a special prayer request for the Pastor Search Committee.
Yes.
I know you've already chosen the man for us, but just ask that you help us to find that man, so that we may carry on your works, Lord.
ask you to be with all of our military and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Seems like they're always catching the bad end of everything, Lord. And they don't deserve it. They're out there serving us, and just ask you to keep them safe, Lord. I'd ask a special prayer for the homebound and the residents of our nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Please let them know that they're not forgotten, and that they're prayed for and loved, and just take care of them, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Would I encourage you to take that with you and pray for it. And even this week, as you think about somebody you want to send a card to or make a phone call, as was suggested, just do that. We'll see if we can get the staff working and see if we can get somebody here to volunteer to take that on, to kind of help coordinate that. So I guess it's all right if 10 people send one person a card or phone call, but it'd be better if we spread it out, right? This week, we're talking about unified culture, developing a unified culture. And we're going to look at some of those things that we're praying through this week, and we'll be doing praying through them like we do on Wednesday nights. But just talking about a little bit, maybe from a little different perspective. And we talked Sunday about a unified culture, and Sunday night about developing a unified culture. And you know, one of the questions that I asked that to start off with, or early at least, early in that message time, was, what would a unified culture in the church look like? And so, sitting in the office upstairs this afternoon, I got to thinking, you know, what would a unified culture in the church look like? Well, would it not look like Jesus and his disciples? In the way they, not that we have to wear sandals and robes and walk around and not drive, but would it not look like what they were doing, the kind of things that Jesus did as he walked through life that 3.5 years that he was doing ministry here? Talk to me about what you think that would look like today in today's times. Tell me what you think. If you think about that, what would a unified culture in the church look like? If it would look like Jesus and his disciples, how would we translate that today? What would some of the things, what would it look like? We start the meetings where I start asking questions and you have to talk.
You know, one thing that I found out is, and so many of our interim pastors and pastors have said, the community is constantly watching Christians. They look for our actions, attitudes, behaviors, and I believe that with all my heart.
Yep.
You know, they do watch when you're coming to church, when you're leaving church, when you're pulling in your subdivision from church. And, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, that's fine. But I know, too, that there are those out there that are unsaved. And if they know that we have witnessed to somebody that they know, that's kind of spreading to the culture.
Okay.
That's in Bourbon County today.
That's good. Where else are they watching? Not only when they see you come in church, leave church, and coming in your driveway or your neighborhood, where else are they watching?
Walmart.
Walmart.
The drugstore.
The drugstore. Wherever you find yourself, wherever you go, especially if they know. I didn't hear that, but I drew some laughs, so I guess it's all right. What else would you say? What would a culture look like? What would, if we were to look at what Jesus and the way Jesus and his disciples lived together for that 3.5 years?
Go visit the homeless and the nursing homes and stuff like that.
Okay, going into the homes and the nursing homes, things like that. Going to where the people are, yeah. Right? That's what Jesus did.
There are people that do that and that make the frozen meals, and we support Accutran, and we supply the backpacks, and there's a lot of things that are being done that maybe not as much as there used to be. Because we used to have a Wednesday night meal where we fed the public, and, you know, anybody that wanted to eat. But things have changed, but we're still unified in our giving to the community or to the missions, or like the ladies making quilts for newborns or homeless CASA kids.
there's, you know, we're unified in a lot of ways that just are not seen.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things we're going to turn to some of the talking to in the next few weeks, and looking at some of those things and celebrating some of those things in the next few months, I should say, weeks and months. Because there is, I know there's stuff going on, things going on. Not contradicting what you said, but because we're doing a lot of things doesn't mean we're unified in those things as a church. Yeah. And I've, I do a little exercise, a thing where I go in churches and talk with them and spend some time with them. And I'll talk about that kind of thing, you know, is what are you doing that's, you know, that's fulfilling the Great Commission? And I remember one church said, well, prison ministry. We do prison ministry. I said, well, that's great. I didn't know that because it's my first time there. And I said, tell me about that. And they said, well, somebody over here pointed across the room and said, do you see that guy over there? John, raise your hand. John goes every Monday night to the prisons and he does that. So we do prison ministry. Who does prison ministry?
John.
And then a little bit later, something else came up, and they said, you know, well, we do this. I said, oh, really? What was that? And it was something like meals, taking meals.
Yeah.
And I said, who does that? You see that couple sitting right there? They do. Tell them how many meals you've been taking out this year already. And so we're unified as a church because that couple decided they've got a ministry, and they're doing ministry. That didn't make us unified as a church. Okay. So, you know, but those are great ministries, and everything that you mentioned is great ministries, and I've heard about some of them already, and I know they are, and they have. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that everyone, that's what makes it unified, is when everyone, not everybody gets involved in this ministry, but in serving the community, fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's what God called us to do through the Great Commission, is to serve Him by serving the people.
This couple does. They go into the nursing homes, different places, and sing, and just make, they just were up to Barbara Knights.
I saw that on Facebook yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. They just love it out there when they come in, and they'll say, well, like Lynn said, and they sing those old songs we like.
And that's a great thing. And there's other things. I know there's other things going on, too. It's a good, yes, good stuff. And so we want to look at that. What else could we do? What else is going to look like a unified culture for Christ to the community? What else could we do? We're not setting things up saying, okay, this is going to be. We're just saying, you know what? What if we did? Or would this be unifying us as culture? What would that look like?
We share the gospel whenever we can, whenever we have an opportunity.
Absolutely. Share the gospel whenever we can and every opportunity we have to do that. And, doing all of these things, and there's different ways, and we will look at different ways to share the gospel and how to do that hopefully before I leave, unless you run me off before I get a chance to. But should we not, as a church, and this was in Sunday night, we talked about this Sunday night a little bit too, or I mentioned it Sunday night. Don't do that. There we go. Should we not emulate godly character? I mean, that's who we are supposed to be, right? To be Christian means to be Christ-like. And so we should have godly character. We should see that. So what could we do as a church? And I'm not saying that we don't have godly character. I'm not saying that the church is ungodly. Okay, don't hear that. And don't go out here and tell them. You know what he said the other night? He said we're ungodly. That's not what I'm saying. What could we do to improve our godly character to the community? Or in front of the community?
Talk positive.
What's that?
Talk positive about other believers, other people in the church, the church in general.
Yeah. Talk positive about what's going on in the church. Mention the things. Hey, you know, we've got this ministry goes on, that ministry, this thing. We've got a children's musical. That's why we're down here tonight. They're up there practicing for their big programs they'll be doing in a few weeks. That's a great one, you know. Just talk positively.
You know, Pastor Gates, back, I guess it was last summer, when three of our churches, there was, what's that one on the way to North Middletown?
Spears Mill,
First Baptist, and our church, and there was one more, I can't remember where, then everybody split up in teams, and we covered every home in Paris and Bourbon County.
Right. Yeah.
And people talked about that for several months.
Those are great things, good things. That was the gospel to every home.
Yes.
That was a KBC initiative that they did, and I thought it was great. So, I didn't get to do any homes this time. I've done them in the past, but I was, when my church did it, I was in Alabama, so.
And our youth will go to a home and share the gospel just as well as any adult. They are wonderful about that.
That's good. That's good. That's a positive sign, a positive thing for them. See what they're doing there. So. Would somebody, I think it's in here, would somebody read Revelation, you can use your Bible or this either one. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. It's at the very top of day 1. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5.
I know your works, your toil, and your patience, endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent.
Okay. This, we studied it 2 weeks ago, or last Sunday, I guess, Sunday night, a week and a half ago, and of course we read it again throughout the week, this Monday. That was this Sunday that we talked about that a little bit, about that. I'm getting my days mixed up. That's not good. Even these churches, Jesus said and had John write to these churches, and this one's to Ephesus. I said, I know these things. I know your endurance. I know you're doing this good. I know you're doing that good. I know you got this going for you, and you're doing these things. You got to hold this against you. And so, again, not saying that that's the way this church necessarily is, but a lot of churches have a lot of stuff going on, but it's not Great Commission oriented. It's not doing anything to fulfill the Great Commission. And a lot of times in conferences and different speaking engagements, I'll share that you can hand out all the bottles of water you want to. And Jesus even said to hand out a cup of cold water in my name. But until you can hand out 500 bottles of water in one day, but until you open your mouth and speak about why you're doing it and speak about Jesus, are you fulfilling the Great Commission? I had a church that went through reaching the summit with me in Georgia 6 or 7 years ago, and during one of the chapters that we come back to meet, the pastor came to this realization. He said, you know, reading this week, he said, I got to thinking. The church set up every year at the community festival. You know how they have, I don't know what if Paris does anything or not, but there's strawberry festivals and apple festivals, bourbon festivals, and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, they would set up every year at their festival. And he said, you know what I've come to the realization at reading this chapter this week or this month? He said, there's not one thing that we do at our booth where we set up a tent and we set up a booth and do, there's not one thing that we do there that an atheist couldn't set up right next to us and do the exact same thing. Think about that. In many churches, and this church had been living them for, he'd only been there 3 years or 2 years, he hadn't been there quite 3 yet. But he came to the realization that, you know, we're doing this and we think we're doing great stuff. We think we're doing God's work, but we're not opening our mouths about Jesus. In most cases, he said, we're just there doing art or handing out water or whatever that was that they were doing. He said, and an atheist could set up right next to us and do exactly what we're doing and do the same thing. And so, you know, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. So that was a realization for them as they went through reaching the summit, and they had to change that. They decided to change the way they were doing it. They were going to start sharing the gospel when they could there and do things for fulfilling the Great Commission. We should emulate godly character wherever we go. Every church has room for improvement. Every church, it doesn't matter, you know, any church that says we don't, we've reached it, that church has walked away from God. I mean, let's just face it, because we're human, right? And not one of us is perfect, nor ever will be perfect on this earth. We're here to work towards perfection. But until God takes us home, we'll never reach that. And we live in a fleshly body is another reason, therefore. Well, here's what I want us to do tonight here with this next thing. I want us to pray for this one. Day 1 was unified spirit, and that's where that passage from Revelation 2 came in. So I want us to just take some time for you to bow your head, close your eyes. I want us to just pray. And I'm going to give you some things to pray for, and then I'll lead us in prayer for this one. But just thinking of us, I want you to thank God for His wonderful blessings on your life. Just thank God. Just take a minute. Just thank God for His wonderful blessings on your life. And pray for a unified spirit in our church. We're unified in several ways and several things. There's some good things going on, like this we read in this passage. What would Jesus write about us, as I asked Sunday? Father God, I do believe this church is a church that is desirous of serving You and serving You greater and serving You to the fullest. And so, Lord, as You reveal these type of things to us, that, you know, we're doing these things, but are we busy or are we fulfilling the Great Commission? That I pray that You'd help us to see everything that we are doing that is good and is of You, that we would continue to do that, and we would strive to work towards a unification of fulfilling the Great Commission at even greater lengths through these ministries. And that more people would get involved with some of the ministries and engaged in the community and engaged in, as we'll study later in the year, about passions and serving people and serving You with the things that You call each one of us and give us each one of us the right to do. Father, I pray for a unified spirit in serving You, a unified spirit in coming together and worshiping You, a unified spirit in lifting each other up on a regular basis. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The second day we talked about and what you read and prayed about was self-purification. So I could read this if I didn't have my one eye messed up. I put my glasses on. Do you believe that it is easy to come to church and go through the motions without truly worshiping from your heart?
No.
You don't think so? As somebody said, yes. Do you believe it's easy to come to church and go through the motions without truly worshiping from your heart? Somebody that said yes, won't you respond to that?
I said yes, because sometimes you come to church and you sing and you pray and you have scripture and you go home that afternoon and you think, what songs did we sing today? If I'm engrossed, if I'm worshiping, I know that we sang Amazing Grace. I know what that scripture was. I may not remember where it was,
yeah,
but I remember that you talked to us about whatever. You've got to be engaged. I mean, and you can watch people. I mean, when we're there, we're singing, and they're looking around to see who's coming in the back door or whatever. I mean, and I don't mean to be judgmental, because I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
You want to know this. But I think we've got it intentionally said. And I think sometimes it starts with, when we come in, can we have music? Can we have quiet music? So when we sit down, we begin to worship. God, I'm here for You to do whatever You have in my heart today.
Good. So good. And thank You. Yeah.
But I've been when I didn't do that.
If we had a show of hands of everyone that had at some time done that, every hand would go up. Because we're all guilty of that. We've all been guilty of that one time or another. Yes, Gail?
I've often thought that we lead such busy lives outside of Sunday morning that for a lot of us to come in and sit down and be quiet for 2 hours, it allows us to think about a lot of things besides what's going on in that sanctuary.
Yeah, it's true.
And it depends on what's going on in your personal life and time, too.
It really does. And I was talking with somebody a couple weeks ago, talking about sermon delivery, message delivery, that kind of thing. And I said, well, you learn certain things. This was wanting to be a pastor, I think, maybe a young pastor. I said, you learn certain things. You learn how to, you know, you insert certain things in there. What do you do to keep people's attention? What do you do to get people engaged or involved? Because there's a big difference in the word involvement and engagement. You can come to worship service and be involved in a worship service for 70 years and never get engaged. You can be a part of a Sunday school class for years and years and years and decades and never get engaged in that Sunday school class or in being a disciple. And so there is a huge difference there. Gail, go ahead.
Well, to your point, the first time I had to make a public presentation at my job, it was to almost 200 people. And on the very front row, to my left, was this man who read the newspaper the whole time I was speaking. And to my right was a lady that was writing down notes and highlighting everything. So it depends on what you put into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It goes both. It's both. And helping people to see that. But you have to want to be engaged. And that's something where you were going when you said no. I go, because you come in, you're ready to hear it. And I can, when you're up speaking in front of people, I think most people can, if you're speaking, you know who's engaged and who's not. Of course, you know some of them are not, because they're about to go on this. But, get that. Or it's like this. Amen. But
don't you think that's up to the individual drawing themselves back into focus?
Yeah.
I know sometimes I'm like 40 miles away and I'll just keep saying, get back on the path, get back on the path.
But, and that's good to do that. But every person will, especially because we're so busy that when any person is talking to us, our mind will wander every few seconds. And so we have to say, get back here, pull back on, get back on the trail, get back on the track. If not, we'll wander off. But it's just a natural thing in our society because we're so busy and there's so much, like Gail said, going on in our minds. There's so much we got going on that we, once we get that calmness, it's like, oh, that reminds me of, I got to go do this week, or that reminds me of a meeting I've got next week, or something like that. And so it's easy to get distracted from the worship service. It's easy to come in, just to go through the motions of singing without really understanding the words. I had another thought there too, but I'll get back to it because something else just popped in my mind. I was talking with the staff today, this morning, and going back to something Gail said, and I said, I was a minister of education for many years, and the other title for minister of education was always the minister of announcements. We were the ones that gave the announcements every week, and I said, I came to the conclusion that people hear no more than three announcements. And normally what I realized was the three announcements they heard was the three they already knew about. And so I pared down how we did announcements in my churches and that kind of, we only do three and it's only church-wide ones. And what did those entail? So we would do those kinds of things. But everybody's thinking their minds are wandering elsewhere, especially at the end of the service. Now, if you do announcements at the beginning of the service, and I know we did that this past week, I don't have a problem with that, but people are not going to remember them by the end of the service. But also, if you do them at the end of the service, like we do, by the time you do the benediction or the time that somebody says a prayer and says amen, they've forgotten those. And here's one that I did that where I really saw that came to fruition. I used to do, as a minister of education, I would do Sunday school teacher training on Sunday. That church wanted to do it on Sunday nights right after the evening service. And so at the end of the service, the evening service, I said, don't forget teacher training in fellowship hall immediately following the service. And one of the teachers wasn't there. And Wednesday night, that's why I said, hey, I missed you Sunday. I knew he was in church on Sunday night. Missed you Sunday night. I wanted to make sure everything was okay. And he said, I just forgot it. And it's the last thing I did. And then we said a prayer and said amen. But see, we do that. And what happens is, by the time you say amen, we've forgotten everything, because when you say amen, we're sitting there thinking about, even during the prayer, we wander, our minds wander, and oftentimes, and what happens is we'll be thinking about, I got to go see Judy before I get finished here, or I got to go talk to Tony about the fishing trip we got planned, or whatever that is. Tony just went, we do? But we're thinking about our buddies and our friends and things like that, and that's where a lot of times where even guests get left out. Now, we've got some people here in the church that are very good about making sure that the guests get greeted more than just a superficial greeting. And I'm very happy with that when I see that happening. So we need to make sure we're doing that. But It is easy to get distracted, to get pulled away, to get our minds off track when we come to worship. It's easy to be thinking about, you know, something that happened on the way to church this morning, something we saw as we were driving, or maybe getting the family ready or to go, or something we saw on TV. Even if it was a religious thing, it's easy to get us distracted while we're here in trying to worship God. So it's, you know, we have to train ourselves to get back. And that's why I said one of the things, and I'll probably say it again this Sunday morning as we go through week six of this. One of the best ways to pray and to keep your mind focused when somebody's praying in church is to just repeat in your head every word that they're saying. That's how I learned to pray as a kid in a Baptist church. It's just, I would pray whatever they were praying, I was praying in my head. Now, what you have to be careful is it's easy to get rote in our prayers. And I may have shared some of this with you all before, but I talk about this a lot. It's become one of my stumps, I guess, to preach on. But even in the church, most of our prayer lives have become rote. And even in the church, in our worship services, they become rote. That's why I pray a different scripture every week. And that's why we've done this, to pray different prayers. Everybody praying the same prayer every day, but also praying a different one each day. But what happens even in worship services, I can go, and I'm privileged enough to travel when I'm not doing an interim, and I can go into any Southern Baptist church and just about any evangelical church in the country, and I'll hear the same prayers even in the worship services. Somewhere in the worship service, during the offering time, someone's going to pray, bless the gift and the giver, right? It's just there because we've always heard that all our life, so we're going to pray, bless the gift and the giver. And at the end of the service, somebody's going to pray, if we have a prayer at the end of the service, put a hedge of protection around us or keep us until we come back again. We're just praying what we've prayed, what we've heard prayed for years and years. What we're doing is we're praying from here. We become experts at praying from here when God wants us to pray from here.
You can feel the difference, though.
Absolutely you can.
Because the last time I stood up and prayed, I was talking to everybody in the congregation, but I wasn't praying to God. And I didn't realize that until I got home.
Mm.
But the time before that, I knew it.
That's awesome. That's a great testimony. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Because it's true, and it's easy to get there. It's easy to get into that, talking to somebody else or talking to somebody in your prayers or just praying what I think is supposed to be prayed at this time in the service or before a meal or anything like that. So I'll do that. How often do you think we should ask God to help us align our hearts according to His design? At least once a day, right?
Exactly.
How often should we ask God to help us align our hearts? Every time we feel ourselves moving away, or every time we're getting ready to do something new or do something different. What can we do? God, help me to align my heart with your heart as I walk into this meeting or into this store or into this doctor's office or whatever that is. So, yeah. Well, let's pray for self-purification. That was day two. I'll just read that for you here. I'll read the scripture, and then somebody think about this. I will ask if someone will pray. You don't have to pray this prayer that's printed there in day two, but if somebody else would lead us in a prayer for self-purification. Here's what the scripture was for that one, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18. It says, for a majority of the people, many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than as prescribed. And we know what, from reading that scripture, what happened next. But would someone be willing to lead us in a prayer for self-purification? In other words, you're not just praying for yourself, but you're leading us so that we can follow along what you're praying for self-purification. Anybody feel comfortable enough doing that with what we're talking about here? You can read part of that if you wanted to read it from the second verse, the second paragraph down. You could do it from there. Start from there. See, you're lucky because I don't know your names yet.
I
I will read it, and I'll read that second paragraph.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
God, before I can pray for someone else's spirit, I must first ask you to align mine with yours.
Yes.
As your word says in Psalms 51:10-12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for doing that. You know, we come with it, and we do. It must come from us first. And I keep talking about that Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. We talk about it. It must come here first. I can't pray for you or pray that God do anything to help you until I first get myself right with God and my heart clean and right with God. And that's why I use that verse there. I love that verse for part of that reason. So.
Now, Pastor Gates, may I say something? And this is pertaining to you.
Uh-oh. I don't know if you can say that or not.
Well, when you are preaching, I can tell when the Holy Spirit, you are just filled with the Holy Spirit. And I catch myself getting so excited because, you know, I know the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And, you know, you can be preaching and then it's like you just shine like a light bulb.
That's just this, what used to be hair.
But I just want to say that because it is so true. I can miss a Sunday, which I hate to do, and it's like my whole week is messed up. And then I have to reel back in and just continue to pray for the guidance and the love and the patience and the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit. You know, and I thank God every night for the gift of the Holy Spirit as our comforter, you know, our guide, our teacher, our helper, and, you know, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our rock, our Redeemer, the light in this world. I mean, how can I not pray every night and then watch one of our interns up there and know when the Holy Spirit is just hitting them like a flash of lightning. Mm-hmm. And I get so excited. And that's things I remember when I go home.
Good, good. Not about me. Just, you know, have to give that to God. And thank God every time that happens, thank God that he's put that cross between me and you so that you see him and not me, because it's not, I know who I am. I know from whence I came. So.
And I know you know that. And that's what makes it so wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Day 3 is unification of purification. That's today, what we pray today. And question there, and it's because of the verse we're going to read. What does it mean to intercede for somebody else?
We lift them up in prayer. Put them in God's hands. Continue to pray and just pray that when they finally get it, that it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking to them, and we're just the messenger.
That's good. What else would you say? What does intercede? What does it mean to intercede for someone? Judy's going to get tired of talking if you don't speak up here. What else would you say? To intercede for someone is what?
That you step in on their behalf.
Yeah, yeah. Doing something on their behalf. Somebody read for us, if you will, that verses there, 2 Chronicles 30, verses 18 through 20.
For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even though not according to the sanctuary rules of cleanness. And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So, we see that Hezekiah, and we talk about this Sunday, Hezekiah prayed for these that came, even the ones that had not purified themselves, but they were there because they wanted to get right with God. They wanted to get back in there. They were celebrating too. And they weren't there just to have a good time. They were there because he comes and said, let's get back to God. And they came for that reason. And so he interceded for them. He prayed for them. So when you prayed for others at Central Baptist Church before this week, did you intercede for them? Or did you pray that God would change them? See, that takes some soul searching. That takes some soul searching. Because we want to say we interceded for them. And we did go to God on their behalf. But a lot of times we pray for them, God, change them to be like me. Or change their thinking to be like my thinking. You know, we do that with, I mean, I'm guilty of this with our politicians. Are you? Yeah, you know, I'm guilty of that with politicians. Am I interceding? I have to back up and say, God, am I interceding for them? Or am I just praying for my wants? There.
You're praying that they would vote or they would view something that you want. And I understand that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I do that and realize that, sometimes I'll say, well, God, I want that because I feel that's what you would want.
Yeah.
And I feel that's what you would help me. And I'll say something like that, but help me, Lord. If I'm wrong, and everything's, you know, you allow everything, so you're allowing these people to be in power or doing whatever they're doing. And so help me to accept that and be ready for whatever you have coming my way. Yes, ma'am.
I think we have to ask that God's will be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Whatever the answer is for that.
Yeah. So whoever it is, you know, somebody sits in front of us or behind us in church, if it's somebody in Washington, D.C., or anywhere there in between, we have to do that, that it's God's will. And God help us do it. And that's what this is about, unification, purification, and a unified culture is to do that. Yes, sir?
I think in today's world, with the war in Ukraine going on, there's a lot of people praying for the Ukrainians, but there's also a lot of people praying for Putin and the Russians to change their way, to see the light, or to stop the violence, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's prayers for both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. And that's oftentimes we forget that. But God loves the Russians. He loves Putin just as much as he loves you and me. And it's hard for us to understand that with our earthly minds and our flesh. But God does. And so we have to pray, again, pray for God's will in that situation. You know. Good thought and good word. And I remember the first time I saw that on social media, I thought, oh, that's so true. We shouldn't just be praying for the Ukrainians. We need to pray for God's will in the hearts of the Russians as well. So
I'll have to quit praying that somebody else would just wipe Putin out. Yes, I need to stop praying that.
I was going to say people are praying that too, but I didn't think it applied.
But then I'll do that too, but God, you'll do it.
What would you say is different about Hezekiah's prayer, what we just read here in that scripture, than that type of prayer we're talking about?
He was directly addressed by Almighty God.
He didn't judge who he was praying for.
Yeah, he didn't judge who he was praying for. They didn't come here the way that you asked us to do and the way that you ordained us to cleanse ourselves before we come. He just said, I pray for all of them. If they're here to seek your heart, God, I'm praying for them. I'm lifting them up right now for that. So I went for that one after it. So,
I have to repent of that one.
Well, let's pray a prayer of unification, of purification. And folks, when I say that, and I coined that terminology, I guess, last week or 2 weeks ago when I wrote this, but unification and purification, what is that? Well, only God can bring about a unification of purification. A unification of all of us united with a pure heart like we prayed a while ago. So let's pray, and I'll pray part of this down here too as we go. Father God, thank you so much that we can learn from Scripture, we can see Scripture, we can read what you have written for us, and you can teach us every day out of it something new. And your mercies are new every morning. So is your word and your grace toward us, Lord. And so we thank you for that. But Father, just as Hezekiah prayed for the men of Israel who had not properly prepared themselves for worship, I lift up all my brothers and sisters. And we lift them up, Lord, tonight, not in contempt, not in disgust, but we lift them up to you in love. Help me in my purification. to love each one as you love each one. For every person who sets his heart to seek you, O God, Lord, our God, God of our fathers. Even though perhaps not all come according to the way that I view biblical rules of cleanness, teach me and guide me to lift them up, asking for your folding them under your wing, and use me to help them as you can. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And day four is joy in a unifying culture. And in this one, you know, we read that in Hezekiah chapter 30, and we also read, and I've talked about this one, and we didn't read it, we talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago, that Nehemiah chapter 8, along with Hezekiah 30, both times, these are two times when the people of Israel were coming together after a time of being away from God. They were coming back together to worship God and to celebrate after hearing God's word and setting their hearts on true worship and celebration. You know, in chapter 8, they'd already rebuilt the walls in Nehemiah, and they had Ezra and the priests, some of the other priests, stood for 6 hours. I talked about that last Sunday morning, I think. Stood for 6 hours and listened in the heat, in the sun, and listened to the reading of God's word. How many people think would stick around if we tried to do that today? Not sitting in our air-conditioned or heated rooms, but standing outside, standing up, no seats, and we stand there for 6 hours to do that. It'd be rough on me, I guarantee you, if we stay for 6 hours. Maybe we're soft, but it would be. But in both these times, the Israelites set their hearts on God again, and they set their hearts on worship, true worship, and celebration. So with that being said, what is missing from our culture today, not just in this church, but what is missing from our culture today that does not allow us to come before God in true joy and worship like they did here, the same nation twice? What's missing from our culture today does not allow us to come before God in true joy and worship like this?
The familiarity of the stories.
Familiarity, you think? Explain that. I think I know what you mean. Sure.
I mean, we've heard it when you start maybe in Genesis 1:1, and rather than following along with you, we know in the beginning God created, so I don't have to pay attention. You know, our mind says that.
Could you?
We don't.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going into that, and that's so true. We get so familiar with it that we don't, and they hadn't heard it. In the case of Hezekiah's days, they hadn't heard it, like I said, in over 200 years, for some of them. And then with Nehemiah, it had been 70 years since anybody had heard it. That's
and
it.
And some of them we just need to shout about, just like the bell of the fire, and, you know, when God sent the water down and it licked up, I mean, all the water and everything, yeah. We might stand up and shout.
Yeah.
But we don't, because we've heard it, we know what happened.
Yeah, we know what's coming next, yeah. And that's so true. And the familiarity of the stories, familiarity of what's happening, what's going to happen next, keeps us from worshiping, true worship like that. What else would you say? What else in our culture keeps us or does not allow us to come before God in true joy and worship like this? And I appreciate that too, not only because it's true, but also because you didn't go right away to, well, it's them outside the church. And that's where a lot of times where we want to go. It's the culture. They won't come to church, or they won't let us do that, or they won't. But you went to, it's us. It's our heart. You know, it's our mind. What else?
I heard years ago somebody say, and it's on, I don't know if it's a pastor or who it was, but they said, being joyful beats being happy any day. And I've carried that, and it's so true. You know, there can be a lot going on that I can be unhappy about, but I can still carry the joy of the fact that I know where the answer is.
Happiness comes from things outside you, things that are happening outside you. Joy comes from in here, comes from God inside, to lift us up there. Let me scroll this down a little bit.
I have to remind myself of that a lot. Being joyful means being happy.
You're the only one. Nobody else has to remind ourselves about being joyful. We all do, don't we? Okay. Well, this one we talked about, or had down here, 2 Chronicles 30:26 and 27. Somebody read that for me. I'll go ahead and ask them. Somebody will read that for you, and we'll get through here in just a couple minutes.
So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy habitation in heaven.
As I studied it to prepare in this 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was, 3 weeks ago possibly, it's one of those things that I read that time and time again. I read through the Bible quite a few years, several different years. But it's one of those things that God says, here's something I haven't given you before. I saw that the priests and the Levites purified themselves. And they had to realize that themselves first. You know what? It starts with us. Same thing we've been talking about. It starts here first before it can go out and do that. So let's pray. Father, forgive us at Central Baptist Church, wherever we have fallen into more routine than in true worship and celebration of you. According to these verses that we've read, there was great joy in Jerusalem because the people, after decades of living unrepentant lives, had turned. These are your chosen people, Lord. They repented and returned to true worship and celebration. Lord, it was not business as usual for them. And so I pray that for us. I pray that we would come in each Sunday morning, each Sunday evening and Wednesday as we get together, and would not come in. It would not be business as usual, not be routine, but we could come in with a true heart. And Father, if just us, those in this room tonight, and I haven't counted to see how many is here, but Lord, just the ones of us that are here tonight, if we did that and no one else did in the service Sunday, I know you could do a redemptive work. And so Lord, we just ask you to take us from routine to wholehearted worship and celebration as a church. Take us beyond our own dreams and all of our aspirations. In Jesus' name, amen. And then day 5 is steps to our unifying culture. And what do we need to do with that? You know, the question I have, Darren, and I'll let you take this one with you. What do you see as steps needed by Central Baptist Church to come to a unifying culture in Christ for Christ-like service? Because we're going to be talking about that in a couple Sunday nights. We'll get to that kind of question. But what do you see as steps needed by Central Baptist Church to come to a unifying culture in Christ for Christ-like service? Now, as you think about these questions, any of these that I'm asking tonight or that I'm asking Sundays or anything like that is, and I'm writing something, I've got to do a conference Saturday on church conflict. And anytime you're dealing with church conflict, you always deal with the issues and not the people. Don't let it become a personality issue. When it does, that's when things blow up. And so whether it's church conflict or just conflict in your family or anywhere, always avoid dealing with. Don Reed was one that really taught that to me. I mean, I knew it before, but he used that terminology. He said, always deal with issues, don't deal with people. Don't let, you know, in other words, it's not you're not dealing with people, but don't let the conversation go to, well, Frank said, and I just don't like Frank because Frank always says that. It's not about Frank. What's the issue behind the matter? And let's deal with the issue and go from there. So we'll do that. Think about those steps. Let's have one more closing prayer and then let you scoot out of here. Father God, I thank you so much for this night, for this time we've had together in here. And I pray that you would help us to take this as we finish up the last 2 days this week, that we would seek your heart, seek your will in our own lives, but also that we would intercede for our brothers and sisters in Christ here, Lord, at the church, so that we could all become unified as one in heart, as we'll be talking about this Sunday. Lord, I thank you and pray that you would give us a good, safe trip home and a good night's rest tonight. Wake us up tomorrow ready to watch for where you're at work so we can join you in that work and that we can be receive the blessings of joy from the events that you want us to accomplish with you, or you accomplish through us tomorrow and the rest of this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.